to the Live Abroad Biz podcast. I'm your host, Johanna, and this podcast is all about motivating young people to live their best life abroad. Hi everyone, welcome to episode number 6. In this episode, I'm going to be interviewing Richelle. Richelle is an expat originally from Seattle and now living in Vietnam. She's going to be sharing her journey of living in China for the past 5 years and as well as in Vietnam. She is now a travel blogger and she also offers online courses. She made an amazing free video training for everyone who is interested in teaching in China. Her links will be linked down below, so go ahead and check it out. I also have a free video training for anyone who is interested in landing a job abroad, so you can check out my training down below as well. Now let's start with the episode. Hi Richelle, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm great. So welcome to my podcast. I'm super excited to have you. Would you mind introducing yourself a little bit and where are you from and where are you living right now?
Sure. So my name is Richelle and I'm originally from Seattle in the US and I'm currently in Hoi An, Vietnam right now working online.
Great. And so how did you get there? What was your journey?
So basically I originally moved abroad to China. So I studied abroad in China for 7 months to study Chinese. And then after I graduated college, university, I guess, depending on where you're from, I really wanted to go back to Asia. And I just felt like I didn't have enough time to explore China. So I actually took a job teaching English there for a year, and then that turned into 5 years. I ended up staying in China for quite a long time. So I transitioned from teaching English, like this not so great middle of nowhere school where I taught like 1,000 students, to like a high level college counseling job where I helped Chinese kids apply to American universities. But after a couple years in that job, I was just really wanting to try something new. I wanted to work for myself. I was creating a course to help people teach abroad in China, and I also had my travel blog. So it was getting to be a bit much, like juggling 3 jobs at the same time. So it's really difficult actually to stay in China if you're not like working in China. So I ended up moving to Vietnam instead, where I could work online. It's a little bit more affordable, a little bit easier with the visa. So that's where I am right now. I'm in Hoi An, Vietnam.
Wow, amazing. So you basically went for 1 semester to China and then you decided to stay to teach.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I actually did like a semester in summer. So I did 1 semester in Beijing and then I stayed in the summer and studied in Xi'an. But yeah, after that 7 months, I went back to the US and realized like, this is boring, right? Like, I felt like I didn't fully fit in anymore. Everyone else who had studied abroad, most people had gone to like Europe or Australia, and they just had a really different experience from me, and I didn't really feel like I had a lot of people I could talk to about it. So I made a lot of friends with international students, and then, yeah, I decided, hey, I've got no job, no boyfriend, no apartment, nothing's holding me back. Mm-hmm. So after graduation, I took a job in China.
Wow, that's amazing. And I also heard that Vietnam is very friendly for like digital nomads and people who are working remotely. So how is this experience? Do you ever meet anyone who was working remotely in Vietnam as you are?
Yeah, definitely. So one thing that I really love about Hoi An is that I go to this co-working space called The Hub, and it's full of all of these people that are working online, and they do sort of community lunches where you can sign up and have lunch together. And then they have, you know, like a group chat and like events that you can go to. So it's really easy to make friends, especially like with me, I'm with my fiance here, so I at least have someone, but sometimes we need to socialize with people that aren't just ourselves. So it's great to kind of get out of the house, because otherwise, you know, last year we did stay in Vietnam for a few months and then, you know, went home for the holidays. And we were just in our house a lot. Like we, you know, working from home, you know, I felt like it was really hard to meet people and we were just in our apartment or our house all the time. So joining a co-working space has been really great because you get to kind of network with different people, make friends. It's also much easier to focus when you have other people around you working.
Yeah. Definitely. So how, was it your own decision or did someone inspire you to go to China for the first time?
China, I'd always been pretty obsessed with China. It was China and Egypt when I was younger. I was really obsessed with their sort of ancient or historical cultures. And then as I grew older, I also became really interested in China's politics, like their current politics. And so when I got to college, you know, I was studying international affairs or international relations, and I had to pick a language to focus on for 3 years. And the easy one for me would have been Spanish because that's what I studied in high school. But I decided, you know what, like I want to pick a really interesting language and end up, you know, studying abroad in one of those countries and something, pick a language that I feel like I will want to use, you know, in the future for my career, whatever I end up doing. So I ended up going with Chinese, not for the reason that most people pick where they're like, yeah, it'll be great for business. I picked Chinese because I was really interested in China and wanted to study abroad in China and meet Chinese people and be able to talk to them. So yeah, that's kind of how I got started studying abroad in China. I just studied Chinese for the sole purpose of being able to move to and live in China.
And do you feel like it really helped you connect with locals? I have my experience that knowing just a little bit helps you so much. People are just like really friendly and trying to help you. What about your experience?
Yeah, definitely. I think the more of a language you know, the better. And that's one thing that I've had to come to terms with here in Vietnam is that I'm not fluent in Vietnamese. So it gets kind of, you know, it's definitely, I feel like there's that barrier there. Here in Vietnam, whereas in China, you know, me being able to be at least sort of conversationally fluent with people really opened up so many doors and allowed me to make so many connections. You know, like I had friends who come to China and they're like, why is that person yelling at you? And I'm like, she wasn't yelling at me. She just didn't believe that a flight from Seattle to Beijing would take 10 hours, you know, or whatever it was. So like just the ability to like get on a sleeper train and be able to befriend the people around you and like share snacks and stuff. It's something that you can do if you don't speak any Chinese. But of course, being able to speak the language allows you to, you know, have conversations with the 80-year-old men playing chess on the side of the road with no teeth, you know, whereas if you don't speak Chinese, you can't make those same connections. So I definitely think you can survive in China without Chinese, sure. Like, and I have some like blog posts and stuff to help people do that. But the more that you can speak, definitely the better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. It must be really hard to learn Chinese and Vietnamese as well.
I would say Vietnamese is harder than Chinese. And that was shocking to me. I thought like, okay, I speak Chinese. This is going to be easy. I took a Vietnamese class. It was harder. If you don't count the writing portion, right, obviously Chinese, like writing Chinese is harder, but just speaking, Chinese is easier.
Wow, that's interesting. Never heard
Vietnamese
about that.
Vietnamese is really hard.
So what did your preparations look like? Like, is there anything that helped you the most?
In terms of moving to China or to Vietnam or just in general?
In general, I'd say you can combine both, yeah.
Okay, I would say, yeah, the first time I studied abroad in China, I was pretty nervous. And this is back in 2012. So there wasn't a ton of resources like there is now. You know, I feel like just in the span of like less than a decade, we've come so far, you know, with YouTube videos, blog posts. You know, when I was preparing for China, I found a couple study abroad blogs. And I read some books. That's like, and it's like weird to like date myself like that. But like, that's all there was. I didn't even realize that travel blogs were really a thing until like a year later, till 2013. So I just really didn't have a lot of information. I was just like reading people's study abroad experiences in Shanghai and trying to guess what it would be like to move there, or reading books that were set in Beijing in like 2002. So like things had changed. But it did sort of give me like an open mind. So when I arrived in China, you know, I really didn't 100% know what to expect. Like I kind of thought the Great Wall like went right through Beijing, and I was shocked to find that it's like an hour away and all that kind of stuff. But now thankfully, like I myself am a travel blogger, and you know, I have a course to like help people teach abroad in China to like avoid all of the many, many mistakes I made my first year. And that's one of those things that, like, that's one thing that I really like about travel blogs, about online courses, about YouTube is that you can actually really get a lot of information before you arrive in a place. You know, whereas in the past, like even 8 years ago, there really wasn't much information on that online and out there.
Yeah, and definitely it has developed a lot right now. So what kind of obstacles did you have to overcome to get to China and to Vietnam, and how did you do it?
I'd say in terms of China, the first time I went just to study abroad, people were pretty nervous, especially about the government and about internet censorship. And so like my family, I mean, they were supportive, but they were like, you have to be careful about what you write in your blog or you're going to get arrested and that kind of thing. People were really worried about it. But definitely, I mean, like what you write in your study abroad blog is not important enough to get on the Chinese government's radar. I'm just going to put that out there. Like, I know of one person whose blog is blocked in China, and it's like a rite of passage, right? Like, oh, you're important enough to be blocked. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I think just, you know, convincing everybody to just sort of get on board with that decision when you're moving to a country where, you know, like Tiananmen Square is like fresh in the minds of most, you know, people's like parents, you know what I mean? Like I was what, not even born or just born when that happened. But, you know, like a lot of people, they only read and hear about negative things in China. And I kind of made it a mission of mine to also share positive things, right? Because the people, government and the people aren't necessarily the same thing. You know what I mean? Like a lot of times people connect the government and sort of project that onto the people, whereas like Chinese people and the Chinese government are like two very separate things. But in terms of Vietnam, there wasn't much that I needed to do. It was more just leaving my cushy expat life in Beijing to sort of become like a digital nomad, become location independent, you know, condense down to like a suitcase and, you know, get used to kind of moving around and stuff like that. Also, obviously, switching from expat lifestyle to working online full time is like a little bit of a hit to the income as well until you get settled. So I think that's one thing that I've definitely been working on is like trying to like actually support myself working online. And thankfully, Vietnam is a bit more, is very affordable and a bit more affordable than China. So it's definitely been a place where I can like save money and get to work. But yeah, so just that whole going from an expat to a digital nomad is sort of a big change for sure.
Mm-hmm. So I know you said that your family was like worried about you going to China because of the government and all that, all the situation. So would you say that what helped you to overcome this kind of fear that they had was like a communication with them, or what was it?
Yeah, definitely. And I think starting a blog, I mean, I started my blog when I studied abroad. And at that point, it was just a not so great study abroad blog where I like diaried about my adventures, but just me showing pictures and writing stories, and then also like keeping in touch with them through like Facebook or Skype, that definitely helped appease them. And really, it took them a very long time to visit China. Like I'd been in, they visited me in China, like as I was about to leave. So after I'd been there for like 5 years. Mm-hmm. And my parents travel a lot. Like they went to Thailand and didn't go to China. And I was living in China. So I'm like, come on guys. Like they're big travelers. So, you know, I finally convinced them. I think, you know, me being in China definitely appeased them, but also my stories from China kind of scared them at the same time. But they did. They visited me in China, and we traveled around for 2 weeks. We went to Beijing, Xi'an, and all through Yunnan province, which is, it's amazing. I love that province. Mm-hmm. But at the end of it now, they rave about China so much. It's China and South Africa are tied for their favorite countries, and they never stop talking about either of them. And it's been so great because their friends ask them like, oh, but how was the food? And they're like, I don't know if it was just because we had Rochelle around, but every single thing that we ate was absolutely amazing. And Chinese people are so nice and China is so beautiful. And people are like, wait, but what about the pollution? And they're like, yeah, but like we climbed this mountain in Yunnan and, you know, we went on a section of the Great Wall that wasn't even open to tourists, and it was really scary, but it was so cool. So they do not stop talking about how much they love China. So that's kind of been my goal, is to get people to see the positives and not just, you know, the politics and the pollution and the censorship and all the negatives about being in China.
Well, now that I hear you talking about it, I kind of want to go to China as well. But it was
hey, if you ever want to go. Wow. If you ever want to go, I have plenty of advice for you. I mean, I did live there for like 5 years, so.
And are they planning to, or did they visit you in Vietnam?
They actually did. Right after I left China, well, I kind of moved around a bit, but I did stay in Vietnam in Hoi An actually for 5 months, and I loved it a lot, so now I'm back. But they did actually visit us in Hoi An in Vietnam, and they did have a really good trip. I don't think they loved it quite as much as China, but they did really love Hoi An, where I'm staying now. And I think for them, like, just China, they weren't expecting to love it, and it just, like, came as a huge surprise. Whereas as Vietnam, they kind of knew a little bit more of what to expect. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they did. They visited me in Vietnam, and they really liked it.
Awesome. So what did you expect to gain from the experience abroad?
That was definitely one thing that, like, when I was choosing where I wanted to study abroad and then eventually where I wanted to live for what ended up being 5 years, I wanted to pick a place that was very different from where I'm from, like super mm-hmm. different, and that wouldn't necessarily be easy. Like, I wanted to, like, throw myself in there into a culture that's completely different from my own. I wanted to kind of, I guess, struggle a little bit, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't want to go to a place that was, like, very similar to where I'm from. You know, like, I dated a guy from Australia, like, went and stayed with him near Melbourne. And I was like, Australia is cool. My current fiance is also from Australia, so I guess I like Australians, but it's not that much, it's really not that much different than Seattle, right? Like, it's different. Sure. I mean, there are differences, but it's not like China, you know what I mean? Okay. So I really wanted to go someplace that was, like, misunderstood by most of the West, that was going to be super culturally different, where I'd have, like, a new and exciting experience every day, where there was going to be a language barrier, where I'd have to, like, force myself to adapt and change. And I also wanted to go on a program where I didn't know anyone. Like, I didn't want to go someplace with my friends. Like, I wanted to challenge myself to go somewhere that I'd never been to. I'd never even really been to Asia before, just by myself, and thankfully I was on, like, a study abroad program, so they kind of took care of me a little bit, but I really wanted to force myself to get out of my comfort zone. And I loved that experience so much that after graduation, I was like, I need to go back, because I spent way too much time studying Chinese and not enough time, like, outside of the classroom exploring, and, like, I wanted to be an expat and, like, experience what it was like to really live in China as an adult and not just as a student. So that's why I was like, I need to go back.
Yeah, I like when you said that Australia was kind of similar to the US, I definitely have to agree that, like, when I moved from Europe to the US, I was expecting a big difference, and it never really happened. Like, people are the same, you know, the shops are the same, school is the same. So I can definitely, like, see why you would like to see something really different. Mm-hmm. Especially when I was in New York, I've seen how similar it was to Europe, even more than here in Texas. I feel like New York is so much part of Europe as in the US.
Yeah, Texas is its own animal. Like, Texas is an interesting place. But yeah, I mean, I can see how people would get culture shock going to the US, because it is, like, you know, especially a place like Texas, it's, like, it's very different from Europe, but it's not as different as, like, let's say, you know, China or Vietnam. Exactly. You know what I mean? There's, like, mm-hmm. a scale of difference, if that makes sense.
And I love the tip that you said, like, go somewhere alone without your friends, because from my experience, when I moved with my friends somewhere, and when I moved here alone, like, it just up-levels your experience, because you are forced to, like, push yourself to go to local events, to meet local people. And it's just, yeah, it really improves your experience, I think, going alone.
Yeah, definitely. And my, like, parents, for example, said they saw a big change in me when I did that, because, sure, like, I'm from Seattle and went to my university in Washington, D.C., which is pretty far. Like, if I have a problem, I can't just go home. You know, it's a 4-hour plane ride. But when I went to China, you know, there was that added, like, if I had a problem, I had to fix it, right? Like, I couldn't even call my parents until, like, the evening because of the time difference. So, like, when I misplaced my train ticket, I had to just deal with it, you know, or if I got lost, I had to figure it out. You know what I mean? So there's definitely that added, if you're somewhere like in a completely different culture, like totally by yourself, you know, you really have to just figure it out in a way that, same with solo travel. Like I used to, you know, before I met my fiance, Chris, I used to travel around Asia by myself in my holidays from China. And yeah, if I missed a train or if I missed a flight, right, in the Philippines, I had to just figure it out. You know, like when you're by yourself, you can't rely on other people to do things for you. You have to just do it yourself. And I feel like that's a great, like, empowering thing, especially like as a woman, you know, learning how to do, like, learn how to drive your own motorbike, you know, learn how to navigate, you know, all of those skills, like learning how to do them yourself.
Would you say that that's the biggest thing that you have learned or gained from this experience, like being responsible for your own things, knowing how to do your own things?
I think that's definitely one, for sure. Another one I would say is that it's made me a little bit more easygoing, because I feel like my personality growing up, I've always been kind of like driven and hardworking, which also sometimes means you're a little bit uptight. Right? Like you like to have things planned out, you know, you get frustrated if things aren't a certain way. And especially living in China, I just really had to learn how to go with the flow. Everything in China is last minute, right? They'll call you at 6 a.m. and be like, want to go shopping for things for your apartment right now? Or we need you to come to the head office like right now to take some photo. And it, you know, and you're like, what? Or like you walk into work and they're like, oh, so-and-so's sick. Can you teach this class right now? And you have to just do it. You know, or like things are like different from your own culture and sometimes frustrating. Like, I don't understand why my house in Vietnam doesn't have an address because none of the little residential streets have names. You know, you just gotta go with the flow and realize too that like your way isn't always the right way, if that makes sense. So I always try to keep an open mind to other cultures and notice like the good things rather than just all the negatives, and also learn from other people in other countries as well.
Wow, that's amazing. I've never been to, like, the closest to the culture that you are describing, I've been to Spain, that where people are also like easygoing last minute, but I've never really accepted that kind of culture. So yeah, it's interesting how for you it has been different and how it helped you. It's so great. So do you have any final piece of advice or any tips for the listeners?
Sure. I definitely would say, like, I know that moving abroad or taking a lot of time off to travel or going somewhere, you know, by yourself, let's say you don't have anyone to go with you, there's never going to be like a good time or a perfect time, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, it can be kind of easy to put it off or to think like, oh, maybe I'll wait till someone can come with me, or is now the right time to quit my job and go teach abroad in China. But just know that, like, teaching abroad in China and living in China for 5 years, like, completely changed my entire life, right? Like, even just deciding to go to China right after graduation, that just completely changed my entire life for the better. So if this is something that you really want to do, you should definitely go for it now and don't keep putting it off, right? Like, that's always my biggest advice to everyone, because of course it's going to be scary, but there's so many resources out there now, like Facebook communities, blogs, YouTubes, online courses. There's so many resources out there now that you can always find a community, especially Facebook groups are a great one for that. You can always find a community of people who do what you want to do. So if you have a dream, you should go for it sooner rather than later, because at least for me, the last thing that I want to do is be, you know, 85 years old in my rocking chair and be like, oh, I wish I did that, or I wish I took that risk. So that's kind of how I like to live my life, and I always recommend it to everyone.
Yeah, exactly. I know so many people say that they are so happy that they took the first step, and I've never heard anyone who would regret like moving abroad. So that's definitely that. Okay, awesome. Thank you so much for your time. I had a blast.
Thank you so much for having me.
Have a good day. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
All right, everyone. That's it for the episode number 6. I hope all of you enjoyed getting to know Rachel a little bit more and about her travel journey in China and in Vietnam. Her free training, How to Teach in China, will be linked down below, and my free training about how to land a job abroad will be linked down below as well. So don't forget to check those out. Okay, and I will hear you in my next episode. Bye!